We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby or visit preborn.com.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Thursday, July the 18th, 2024. Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Hi there, Tim.
That's it. We're it. Except for we got Jenna coming on, Jenna Ellis at the bottom of the hour.
Yep, 10:30.
And then Steve Paisley-Jordahl will be in the studio.
11:05.
A lot of pressure on us. Got to carry the show.
We'll handle it.
We'll handle it.
We were born for this moment, like, Tim.
That's scary.
I hope we were born for more than this moment, but we'll take it.
All right. A lot to talk about, obviously, with the Republican National Convention winding down this evening. President Trump will speak, right, Fred?
Speak tonight, and I hesitate to say what time central, because the convention has a lot of speakers. Like last night, J.D. Vance was supposed to give a speech 8:30. I think it was...
You mean central time?
Central time. I think it was about 9:45.
Yeah.
By the time we got to...
I don't understand that. I don't understand. I'm sure there's, you know, reasons. I just don't understand why you put your prime time message on after people on the East Coast. A lot of them have turned the TV off, gone to bed.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know either, because now I do understand the mentality of not saying specifically when the main speaker is going to speak.
Right.
Because a lot of people would not tune in for the rest of it. They would say, all we need to do is at 8:30, J.D. Vance is speaking. And then if you have speakers after the main person, no one's going to stick around for those either.
You don't want to be that person.
You don't be that person who has to follow the everyone else after J.D. Vance speaks, goes out, hey, let's go get some coffee in the foyer.
I know, you're speaking while the janitor's sweeping up the floor out there.
That's right.
In the convention hall.
So I guess they figure that those who are there for the party or even watching online.
I don't think they had did they have any speakers after J.D. Vance?
I thought maybe
I think they just had the benediction, so to speak, or somebody, as it were, the prayer.
I'm just going to be honest. I watched all of it.
Oh, boy.
The convention. I watched a lot of the speakers.
Right.
But at 8:30, okay, when I figured he would speak at 8, you know, kind of that prime time slot.
And you're talking central time.
Yeah, central time. And at that point, I said, oh, I'm going to bed. And I will watch.
Was it dark yet? You people are sleeping your life away. I'm here to tell you.
He has his evening meal at 3 in the afternoon.
In my defense, okay, I do get up at 4.
Okay.
And so I got up and I did
I've been in bed for 3 hours when you get up.
I did watch J.D. Vance's speech, but I did it this morning. Hmm. Okay. So if Donald Trump speaks at 9:30, 9:45, 10:00, I will watch a speech tomorrow. In fact, I have you guys in leadership. I have our text thread muted, because if I don't do that at 9:30 or 10, well, you guys start texting, it wakes up half the house.
I think about that now.
Yeah.
10 o'clock is kind of my, all my friends have gone to bed texting sort of rule of thumb.
It is strange, though, going to bed when there's still light out. It is, but I get up early, and there's just biologically speaking, there's just no two ways around it.
Fred, you get up like
3:30.
Good night.
3:30 is. And normally I'm in bed at 8:30 or so.
Yeah.
But because of what's going on right now, I came in the office last night to listen.
I don't think does the Bible talk about what time you need to go to bed and get up?
It does not.
Okay. It's in Hezekiah. Early to bed, early to rise.
Check that out after the show.
The prophet Ben Franklin? Is that who that was?
The prophet Ben Franklin. The prophet Malachi.
All right, so President Donald Trump, former President Donald Trump, speaks tonight to the Republican National Convention and will be his first public speech since the assassination attempt on his life last Saturday.
Yeah.
But before we sort of preview that or talk about that to the extent that we will, last night was J.D. Vance.
Yes.
The senator from Ohio. It was his moment to introduce himself to those in attending and also the nation.
Yeah. It was an interesting speech, and some people said it wasn't so much a speech as it was a talk.
Yeah.
Because he went off script a number of times.
Did he?
He seemed to be having a really good time with the crowd.
He was very relaxed.
The Ohio delegation, Michigan, and
made some Ohio State, Michigan football jokes.
Yeah, he did, and I'm sure that wasn't part of the script. But when he did stick to the script, he talked a lot about his background. He grew up, and I think a lot of people now know, he grew up in abject poverty. His dad, his mom were not present. His mom was a drug addict. He was brought up by his grandma, who he referred to as his mama.
Right.
And that drew a lot of applause from the crowd as well.
He said that's what hillbillies call their grandmother.
Yes.
There's some funny lines.
Yeah, and his grandma, you know, sounds like an interesting lady, among other things. They found, after she passed away, 19 guns.
Loaded
in her house.
I don't know if I'm leaving my grandkids over with my grandma in that situation, but anyway.
Yeah, I my thought was when I heard that, I thought that's not a real strong argument in favor of Second Amendment.
Right.
Because everyone's always saying, well, what about kids?
I think what J.D. Vance was describing, and I haven't read the book. Have you guys read the book?
Mm-hmm.
Hillbilly
Elegy.
Elegy. But you're right, Fred. He was raised under. This guy had it rough, man.
Yes.
As a child, mm-hmm. I mean, really, his mother's addicted to drugs, basically absentee. His dad wasn't around. They had gone through a divorce, I think, when he was 6 years old. He moves in with his grandmother and grandfather and with his sister. I think he one sister. Anyway, one of those situations where you go, this guy, there's two strikes against him before he gets to be a teenager. Yes. Okay,
and that is part of his story.
Yeah.
Because he goes on from there, he went into the Marines, gets out of the Marines, and he goes to Yale Law School, graduates top of his class.
Well, he went through Ohio State, got a four-year degree in 2 years.
In 2 years. Entrepreneur. I mean... It's really interesting. Don Jr. Spoke just a few minutes before Vance got up to speak. And Don Jr., Trump, talked about the ticket. He says, we're the Trump family. We grew up in Park Avenue at Trump Towers. And then he says, Vance, he grows up in abject poverty. In Appalachia. But he says, we're singing from the same page now when it comes to what are the priorities for this country. So here's a little bit of what Vance had to say last night. Cut number one.
And I promise you one more thing. To the people of Middletown, Ohio, and all the forgotten communities in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Ohio, and every corner of our nation, I promise you this. I will be a vice president who never forgets where he came from. And every single day for the next 4 years, when I walk into that White House to help President Trump, I will be doing it for you, for your family, for your future. Thank you. God bless all of you, and God bless our great country.
Okay, so I knew very little about, I'm probably like most of us, right, about J.D. Vance. you know, I know he won, knew he was a senator. I don't think I've ever heard him speak on the Senate floor that I've watched much. And that's no, I'm not criticizing him. I'm just saying he hasn't been very visible. Would you
no,
say?
I mean, beyond the success of his novel and the movie.
Yeah, I mean in politics, but yeah.
I think he was an unknown quantity for a lot of people. A lot of people, even like us, who pay, you know, fairly close attention to the political landscape. I did not know much about him either.
Yeah.
I liked his speech. He is clearly comfortable in front of large crowds. It was a really good speech, strong yet relaxed and friendly, and he immediately had a good rapport with his fellow Republicans.
He was introduced by his wife, who was also a Yale grad, very bright lady, and this was another contrast that he drew attention to. She is Hindu. She grew up in San Diego, California.
But she's Indian.
Yeah.
By ethnicity.
Ethnicity. Yeah. And but they met at Yale Law School, and she said one of the things that she was impressed with him, he had a tremendous interest in getting to know her and her background.
Yeah.
So much so, and she kind of joked about this, he's kind of a hamburger guy. She said, I'm vegetarian. But he wanted to learn how to cook meals that would be acceptable to her and her family. Mm. Just that type of guy. By the way, one of their children is named Vivek.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, a Hindu name, Vivek Ramaswamy. So, it was really quite fascinating to listen to last night. The crowd loved him. And one of the reasons, apparently, that he was picked by Donald Trump, Donald Trump's sons had a lot to say in this. And they really looked at his background, but also his age. He's 39 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And coupling all that together, they were thinking of the Republican Party of the future as well and who he can appeal to. So,
by the way, Google the other day, I was on Jeff Shreve's show in the morning at 8 o'clock, and Jeff and I were talking, and I was going on what Google said about his height because he said he was 5'7". He's 6 foot, 6 foot one, 6 feet tall.
Oh.
6 feet one. Not that it matters.
Right.
Okay. It's what he believes, not how tall he is. But that was being mischaracterized because I said, and I regret this. I really do. I said on Jeff's show that if he's 5'7 and Donald Trump's 6'2, 6'3, he will look like a wind-up doll standing next to the former president. But he's actually, looked to me like he's about six feet tall. And the beard is good for him.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
He has young features.
Yeah, he's a baby face.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with a baby face.
Right, absolutely.
Huh? But I'm just saying, because I long for one.
Well, I'm going to say,
when I look
a lot
in the mirror,
people,
I go,
a lot of people call me babyface because I look so young.
And you're Italian. And you have a gun.
Yes.
There's Scarface and babyface.
You see, Ed, it wasn't
I'm
me
sorry.
That brought this up
not
this time.
That was wrong.
Not this time.
Again, that was an ethnic slur almost. But anyway.
No, not almost. but we digress.
I digress. The positives for J.D. Vance, I think, with at least Republicans who don't know him, Marine Corps, but signed up for the Marines, right? But he made it clear what I got. He's not interested in sending American troops around the world. Did you get that?
Yes.
I don't think he was a fan.
That's been a common theme for Republicans.
Yeah.
No unnecessary wars.
So, and he also, so very highly intelligent, accomplished a lot and with the odds against him.
Yeah.
Right. And seems like a genuinely nice guy and pleasant to be around.
Yep.
And very friendly. Those things, his political worldview, I guess you could say. I think he's Catholic. He converted.
He did.
He converted, became a Catholic,
mm-hmm.
grew up around evangelical Protestant churches, but, you know, given his childhood, as he probably wasn't ever in, you know what I'm saying, in a deacon or an elder or anything of that nature. So we will see going forward, but you're right. With respect to why he was chosen, I think there's two reasons. One is Don Jr. and Eric, the sons, have a good rapport and really like him, J.D. Mance. Secondly, he is from the Midwest. He grew up in Kentucky and then in Ohio.
He mentioned a lot
Kentucky
last
I know.
He mentioned the states Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan.
Oh, yeah, that's where he's going to camp out.
Wisconsin.
That's one of the reasons they chose him. They want him to go to Pennsylvania, Michigan. Those are the, quote, Rust Belt states that the Republicans need to win in any presidential election to have a chance. They need to win at least three or four of them, which Donald Trump was able to do in 2016. So that was one of the reasons he was chosen. He'll be, as I say, he'll be camped out in those states in the upcoming months.
Yeah.
So you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We were talking about J.D. Vance, the senator from Ohio, speaking last night at the Republican National Convention, and then President Trump tonight.
President Trump tonight. One of the other compelling moments last night at the convention was Gold Star families. You remember during the debate, about 3 weeks ago now, that Biden said no military people died under his watch. We know.
Huge misstep.
Huge misstep. 13 of our soldiers died in the extract out of Afghanistan.
Yes.
We also remember the pictures when the bodies of those heroes were brought home. Joe Biden at the airport checking his watch.
Yes.
All right. So last night at the convention, they had the moms and dads of these soldiers lined up across the stage, naming each one of those soldiers, and the crowd repeated their names.
Yes, because it was a rebuke to President Biden.
Yes.
You forgot about these.
Yes.
Our kids.
Yes. So I want to play you a little bit of that last night. It was just a moment that you're not going to forget. Cut number four.
Joe Biden said the withdrawal from Afghanistan was an extraordinary success. Look at our faces. Look at our pain and our heartbreak. And look at our rage. That was not an extraordinary success.
Our son, Corporal Hunter Lopez, whose name Joe Biden has refused to say out loud, was killed on August 26, 2021. While Joe Biden has refused to recognize their sacrifice, Donald Trump spent 6 hours in Bedminster with us. He allowed us to grieve. He allowed us to remember our heroes.
That was unscripted. That was an incredible moment at the convention last night.
And listen, Joe Biden has made one mistake after another. But those kind of things have so set aside the, you know, his positions and his actions towards the energy production sector of our country or the inflation or whatever. Those have some emotional pull, too. But these kinds of issues, the president checking his watch, him apparently completely forgetting that that, yes, people did die in the military. And it was after a complete foul-up in the extraction of our forces from Afghanistan. All those kind of things have tremendous emotional punch. And anyone not only watching last night, but anything going forward, whenever these folks speak to these issues, is going to have a lot of emotional punch.
Yeah. It was quite a moment.
Kai Trump spoke also.
Yes, she spoke. She's the oldest granddaughter of Donald Trump. She spoke last night. Sharp young lady. I think she's 18 years old, and talked about what's life like having Donald Trump as your granddad. So cut number two, a little bit of her speech.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kai Mazin Trump. I am the granddaughter of Donald Trump. I'm speaking today to share the side of my grandpa that people don't often see. To me, he's just a normal grandpa. He gives us candy and soda when our parents aren't looking. He always wants to know how we're doing in school. On Saturday, I was shocked when I heard that he has been shot, and I just wanted to know if he was okay. It was heartbreaking that someone would do that to another person. A lot of people have put my grandpa through and he's still standing. Grandpa, you are such an inspiration, and I love you.
I was just 17 years old.
Yeah. And you know what's amazing about that is, I didn't watch the whole speech. I just watched part of it. It was very brief. She's the daughter of Donald Trump Jr., Don Jr.
Yes.
And Don Jr.'s wife. She had a part in her life, too. I'm trying to find her name. Do you know?
You're talking about Laura?
No. No.
Kimberly Guilfoyle?
No, they're not married.
They're not married. Talking about Kai's mother. What's her name?
I'm sorry, I don't know the name. They divorced back.
Vanessa, isn't it?
A few years ago.
It's Vanessa.
Yeah. I'm getting mixed up.
All right. Vanessa Trump is Don Jr.'s ex-wife.
Yes.
And so the mother of the young lady we just heard. What I was going to say was, to be 17 years old and you get up in front of the audience there in the auditorium and the convention hall, and then you also in front of the nation on national television, that was quite impressive.
It was. It was.
For her to get up. And she wanted to get up and share. She wanted to, you know, everybody knows Donald Trump, the politician, the former president, you know, the tough guy image that he projects.
Yeah.
And she wanted to say, well, yes, but there's a teddy bear side too.
Yes.
She did it very eloquently.
They play golf together. She said, and he gives her a rough time. And she said, I give him a rough time back because she said, remember, I'm a Trump.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was really quite good. And, you know, Fox, when they presented this, did a split screen so you could see Donald Trump's reaction to what the granddaughter had to say.
Yeah.
And it was something. But you mentioned Donald Trump's speech tonight. A lot of people, we know he has rewritten the speech that he had planned for tonight in the wake of what happened last Saturday. A lot of people are wondering because they've looked on the expression on his face when he's been coming into the convention floor this week. A lot of people saying he's a different man. And we may not have the kind of Donald Trump speech we're used to tonight. It may be much more grandfatherly.
Yeah.
A lot of people are very anxious to hear if that is true, if he has toned down that, because he's been critical. People have been critical of his style.
He's bombastic.
Yes.
But he has sure looked subdued.
Yes.
At the convention. When he comes out, people chanting his name and applauding. I'll just say, it's possible I'm reading into what I'm seeing. That's possible. But he does look humbled.
Yeah.
He looks humbled and grateful for the support.
He also looks tired.
And he does, and
I'm not criticizing for that.
Right.
Because he's 78, and he almost got assassinated. And
he may not be sleeping well.
And he also, that's what I'm saying, he also got, he's trying to process all that. All the while, he's in attendance for this convention, you know, and it's just a lot to go through your head.
Listen, he's an intelligent man. He knows it's not over. In terms of his life being on the line.
Against threat.
Somebody may still. So in his mind, he's going, well, that wasn't a one-off. There are still people out there who may try this again. That's got to weigh on you.
Also, he won't say this publicly, but if I'm him, I mentioned this before, I'm like doubting the Secret Service now.
Yes.
I'm going, these guys can't protect me. I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Huh? We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
Why is our society so ravenous to abort babies? According to a former Satanist, the demonic forces have a bloodlust for the innocents and sickly believe their blood sacrifice empowers evil. Make no mistake, we are fighting a spiritual battle as we protect the most innocent among us, babies in their mother's womb. Preborn stands on the front lines of this battle, and their network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, often next to abortion mills, where unspeakable evil takes place every day. Preborn offers God's love and life to protect hurting women and precious preborn babies. And every time a baby is saved, which happens 200 times a day, good conquers evil. Please make your most generous gift to empower good and rescue precious souls. For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound that doubles a baby's chance at life. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening. I'm Tim with Fred and Ed. And we've been talking about, there's so much in the news. We haven't even got to, won't have time to, but we've talking about what basically what happened last night at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, and it culminates, the convention itself culminates this evening with the talk of the party's nominee. Former President Donald Trump will be formally accepting the nomination. Joining us now is Jenna Ellis. Jenna's heard each morning on American Family Radio from 7 to 8 with Jenna Ellis in the morning. She is a author and a constitutional attorney. Good morning, Jenna.
Good morning, Tim. And it's great to have you back. I think this is the first time I've been on TI in a while that you've been back. So good.
Well, it hadn't been intentional.
Don't take it personally.
I haven't been avoiding you.
And speaking of personal things, Jenna,
yeah,
I am aware that during the break,
yeah,
Adam Suddeth, who's
our producer today,
told you that the topic we wanted to discuss with you, and this is just as a joke, was the advancement of cold fusion technology.
It's no joke to me.
To which you replied, I doubt it, because if I don't understand it, those guys sure don't.
Yeah, that was kind of sexist, if you ask me.
I'd like to know what you meant by that, besides we're three idiots sitting on the panel.
Did he tell you the rest of his text message? Why don't trust your sources,
right?
Because you have to actually go back and read the text, because this is what he said to me. The advance of cold fusion technology and why pre-K schools should begin teaching fusion theory.
Hold on, Jenna, just real quick. For those who don't know, they may have missed it. Adam Suddeth, our producer today, text Jenna what she's talking about. Okay, what are we going to be discussing when I come on Today's Issues,
right,
which is now? And Adam said the advancement of cold fusion technology.
Yes.
Yes, but also why pre-K schools should begin teaching the fusion theory. So the they was to the schools, and I said they shouldn't. I don't even understand it, so pre-K kids won't. So he's trying to throw me under the bus a little bit.
Right.
He's my producer
in
the morning.
I mean,
now I'm starting to sound like Kamala. Wow.
I will say this. I didn't even understand cold fusion technology until one time here not too long ago. My sister's took me to Starbucks, and I had some of that cold fusion
therapy
technology with it was some kind of
cold brew.
It was cold brew. Is that the same
thing?
Is that
cold? Is that? Because I mean, I understand cold brew. If you want to talk about that, I have a lot of opinions.
I'm kidding. Cold fusion technology.
But here's the great thing. I have been on so many radio programs, and so many times when I was working for former President Trump, where he would tweet something like 30 seconds before I'd go out, and people assume that like I was fully briefed on this, right? Yeah, of course, you know. Right. And so I'd go in and they'd be like, so Jenna, what's your opinion on this? And so I got so good at just saying something like, well, yeah, like what I responded to Adam. And what I loved about the White House press secretary saying that she's not going to get ahead of the president in terms of, you know, anything that he says, I was like, oh, I know that so well. That means that she has absolutely no clue what he's doing, because she's not going to get ahead of him because she doesn't even know what's going on.
Yeah,
Karine, that line is great.
That is a line. Karine Jean-Pierre we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. She is the master at referring you to.
Right.
So whatever question is asked, but she should be answering for the White House or about her boss, President Biden, she deflects by saying, I will refer you to an agency who you'll never get a comment from.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Good luck with that one.
Yes.
You'll get it. That's what she's saying. Yeah. I will refer you to Jenna, and the Jen Psaki's was circle back, which that means I'll never get back to you.
Right.
So anyway, that's how these professional public relations people sometimes handle questions.
And that's why I'm so grateful to be on AFR, because we actually handle things directly. We don't just circle right. back. I mean, sometimes we do. Sometimes we're like, if it's cold fusion theory, I will definitely circle back. But yeah.
Yeah. All right. So you've been watching the convention, obviously.
I have.
And what are your overall thoughts?
Overall, I think it's very inspiring, especially for a nation that just endured what we did on Saturday with the attempted assassination of former President Trump. I thought the greatest couple of moments so far were when he walked in that first night, WWE style, and looked. I mean, I know him well. I know his facial expressions, and he looked more emotional than I've seen him. I mean, very rarely did he, you know, have that kind of, usually it was when he was talking about his family and things like that. So to see that was such a great moment. And then last night when his eldest granddaughter, who's 17, just got up and said, I want to talk about my grandpa. I mean,
that
was such a non-political moment of any sort of thing. It was just a young girl talking about how much her family meant to her. I thought that was amazing. The Gold Star families. I mean, there's a lot here that is really good, and I think overall we should take those points. Of course, I've been a very vocal critic of the platform, the way that it was pushed through to excise the definition of marriage, water down pro-life. I think that we're at a crossing point here as far as where conservatives and evangelicals need to go being strategic. And I had Steve Dace on my show this morning, and I love how much he just preaches his political rant. Yeah. So I just sat back for about 20 minutes and listened to him. And his overall message was that, you know, God is still working and moving in not only our personal lives, but in the life of a nation. And we need to be part of that, even if it doesn't look like the same Christian nation we've grown accustomed to. There's still a lot of work for us to do and that can be done. And I think that's a very good admonition.
You know, we joke around a lot here on this program, and it's good to have fun as Christians,
right.
As people. It's good to have fun because you need some stress relief. However, I will say this, and I've talked to this with numerous people, and don't get me wrong, I hope President Trump wins in November, because primarily for me, and everybody has their reasons for why they vote or don't vote, it's all about the judges. The Supreme Court, Thomas and Alito, are likely to retire, and the federal judges, I mean, the impact they have will go far beyond the years of whoever the president may be in this case. It would be Donald Trump. However, I would say this, whether Trump's elected or not, our country is in a spiritual malaise and a moral decline. And I don't know if it's reversible or not. I don't mean to be pessimistic. I'm generally not pessimistic. But you just see darkness across our land spiritually. We as Christians can see this, what's going on. And politics is politics and government, you know, is a part of our, is a big part of our existence here in the
right.
U.S. And we want to maintain our freedoms and our liberties and our way of life. And people want to have money to pay their bills and jobs. And there's just so much that goes into our country, but if we completely lose our moral bearings as a nation, you know, I don't care who we elect.
Yeah.
Is that Ed? Do you want to comment?
Well, I'd like to listen to what Jenna has to say. I'll talk all day long about this subject, but Jenna, I mean, it's clear. If it wasn't clear just theologically to most Christians, it's become crystal clear because we see it before our very eyes. Only God can save America. And amen. I think what Tim is saying is politics is a part of it, but it is not going to turn around the heart problem we have in this country. I think that's a fair understanding of where we're at, right?
Absolutely. And I've been talking about this all morning this week on my show, because so many people are saying, you know, this is such a great thing for the party. We're super excited, you know, about Trump and Vance. And they're actually saying that it's okay that this platform is watered down, completely missing the whole point of the culture war. And in fact, Politico just put a piece out earlier today that quoted one of the delegates from Louisiana who said this: the core of the party is pro-life. There are some people that are further with it that believe in zero abortions, and that's their right. But a lot of people in the party are realizing that we should not be trying to judge somebody's life, dictate how somebody lives their life, and they're focusing more on the policies that are good for all Americans. If that's somebody who says that they are a conservative delegate, we have very serious problems in this country, because I'm old enough to remember pre the overturn of Roe versus Wade, pre Dobbs, when we were thinking that this would be the most pro-life generation because of the advancements in medical technology, because of the spiritual awakening in this country. And we really were not prepared for this debate post Roe. And the entire point of politics that people have to understand is that this is not a religion. This is not substituting party politics for our faith. It's that we are engaged in politics, in civil government, because we are commanded to by our faith. And we have to first have the knowledge of God and have a good theology, go to a church that teaches theology, teaches through the Bible, so that we know how to engage our culture with truth. And we are not captured by all of these ridiculous arguments suggesting that we need to just sideline pro-life because somehow that's what caused our failures and our losses in 2020 and 2022. So let's just get rid of all the morality and then maybe we might win something again. No, we stand for truth regardless.
Yeah. Talking to Jenna Ellis. And Fred, did you have a question for Jenna? Or?
No, that's good.
How are you calling puppies any longer? I mean, when do you cross over to dog adulthood?
Yeah, so I think they'll still always be puppies, just kind of right. Like, you know, yeah, right. I'm still my parents' kid, they'll always be puppies, but they are celebrating their birthday next week on the 25th, so halfway to Christmas is their uh-huh. birthday, so we are having a Paw Patrol party. Because that's
brother.
Because they have a couple of little doggy friends in the neighborhood, and so I'm making little cupcakes with Paw Patrol stickers on them because that's what the puppies love.
We're talking about two dudes. what is Instagram people?
Two
follow?
Dudes, D-O-O-D-S, because they're golden doodles. Two dudes _ Copper and Todd. And a lot of people follow them. And in fact, one of the main responses I always get on radio is, I didn't hear the boys today. Where were they? And actually, not last night, but the night before, I was on my Salem TV show. And generally, you know, the boys, I've taken them out and they're good by then. It's not right, you know, first thing in the morning. And Copper is more than Todd thinks that he's a star and he always wants to be on TV. So he was like poking his little head up. So during the segment, I just decided to lean into it. And by the end, I just said, well, and this is Copper. And he would like to give his opinion as well. So he appeared on TV the other night.
I'm just going to say the fact that you said that a lot of people pay attention to their Instagram page maybe the most disturbing thing I've heard all show.
Hey, everybody's got their stress.
No, listen,
relief,
who
man?
Doesn't love dogs?
Yeah,
and they're adorable dogs too.
Yeah, they are.
Who doesn't listen with all the stuff that goes on in our country?
Yeah, right.
You got to have a couple of dudes D-O-O-D-S in your life.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Well, when I was out visiting my family for the 4th of July, I sent Tim a picture of my dad and Todd, because Todd just adores my dad. And he goes, that looks like a couple of good dudes right there, too. So we need some of those kind of dudes. Happy dudes. Yes.
Those Todd and...
And Copper.
Copper, excuse me.
Yes.
Well, that's taken from the movie. What was that?
The Fox and the Hound.
Fox and the Hound.
It was one of the old good
legendary
Disney movies.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. All right, thanks, Jenna.
Thanks so much.
Who are you going to have on in the who's going to be on
yes,
in the morning?
Pastor Jack Hibbs, and I'm so excited because he is going to give us a great exposition of the direction that Christians need to go in a fallen culture and an encouragement to the church. So
Jack
really
Hibbs
excited for
on
that.
Tomorrow with Jenna, 7 o'clock Central Time tomorrow morning. All right, Jenna, take care. Thank you.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right.
Okay, that's Jenna Ellis joining us from the free state of Florida, where she lives.
The free state of Florida.
That's what they call it, the free state of Florida. Jenna, she grew up in Colorado, lived in Washington, D.C. area for a while,
right.
Obviously when she worked in the White House, and now she lives in Florida, and we're glad to have her as our morning host here on American Family Radio. Yeah, with Steve Dace, our brother Steve, man, you just, if you...
He's a wind-up toy.
Yeah.
You wind him up, and he'll go until the battery runs down.
He can. I wonder how he... J.D. Vance last night... Steve is a devout... You know how somebody's devout religion? Steve's devout Michigan Wolverine.
Oh,
like maize and blue.
Yeah.
Like you cut him, he bleeds maize and blue. That's the colors for the University of Michigan.
Yeah.
So I just wonder how he's... processing and dealing with the fact that J.D. Vance is Ohio State,
and J.D. Vance last night, he kind of in good humor, okay. He said the Ohio State, and he went all
and
in about
he said sorry Michigan,
and then the Ohio State delegates started cheering for the Ohio State, and then J.D. Vance said it was a pretty funny moment. He said, all right, now calm down. I got to say to my, we have to win Michigan too.
Right. That was funny.
So I didn't know that Steve Dace was a big Michigan
fan.
Oh, yeah. Wolverine.
Yeah. Well, call him. You want to call him? Yeah, get him on the cell phone.
No,
you want to call him?
Because
he'll
talk
for an hour.
I'll take your word for it. Yeah.
He'll interrupt whatever he's doing to talk Michigan.
Yeah.
Football in particular. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Fred. I wonder, guys, tonight with President Trump's speech. President Trump said, as you referenced this a few minutes ago, Fred, President Trump said before the convention, the attempted assassination and the start of the Republican convention, he did an interview with somebody and said he was going to change it. He's changing up his whole speech.
Mm-hmm.
That was in the immediate aftermath. I think that was while the weekend was still going, Sunday or something. I think it was pretty quick.
What would that mean? I guess we'll find out tonight, but what was that? What does that mean?
I don't know.
You wait and see?
Yeah, I really don't know what that meant, other than perhaps his original speech was going to be very vocal and criticizing Joe Biden, and maybe he started thinking about tamping down the rhetoric. Talking about President Trump, I don't know. But at this point, Joe Biden has his own problems.
Yeah, President Trump can't go Fred Rogers on us.
Oh, no.
It won't look natural, and...
He's probably been advised not to change it much. After the initial comment, I have to believe... His sons and others that he trusts in terms of their advice and counsel probably are going to, because the speeches thus far during the convention have been very critical of Joe Biden and the Democratic Party, including J.D. Vance's, speech.
Trump's two sons, Eric and Don.
Well, it's all been fair game.
Right. That's why I think I whatever the original comment meant, going to tear the speech up. I have to imagine a lot of that. It's going to be some minor adjustments rather than a wholesale change.
I think there'll be a theme of thankfulness.
Yeah.
For what happened. I think he'll praise.
I gotcha.
His Secret Service team.
Yeah, that would be a major. I mean, if by that kind of change, I can fully understand that. Mm-hmm. I just meant, is he going to? Because he had said, I did read one quote where he said, I was going. The original speech was kind of tough on Biden, but we're changing all that, and I didn't know what that meant exactly. Of course, we'll wait a few hours and find out what he meant by that.
They've had a theme each day, and today is Make America Great Again. And that he will stick with that theme tonight.
Right.
I don't think he's going to wonder. He's going to be, pro-military.
Right.
The world will be watching to see what he says about what happened Saturday.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. This is going to be – now, Fox has had really good numbers tuning in during the convention. I know Fox isn't the only network carrying it, but they've had really good numbers. I think tonight – and by good numbers, I think 7 or 8 billion. But tonight, I think it's going to – really shoot up.
Yeah. Well, it'll be stream. It's not only the television network, but then the streaming devices will be watched worldwide. In fact, I watched. I'm a golf fan, obviously. I was reading about Tiger Woods.
Yeah,
Tiger Woods is in Great Britain for the British Open, which starts today, which is a major golf tournament.
Right.
And he was saying that he didn't get much sleep before he got over there, because he was watching the events on what happened Saturday. And I'm just saying when I say the world's watching, right, the world watched what happened Saturday, and we'll be watching tonight.
Yeah.
To see what the former president says about it. Of course, Donald Trump and Tiger Woods were longtime friends, prior to him becoming, even before he became president. But I just make that point to say everybody is curious and interested to find out what he has to say about what happened on Saturday.
It's going to be interesting to see how far, if he gets personal in the attacks against Biden, because right now the Democratic Party is self-imploding. Axios News is running at this hour. They say top Democrats telling us the rising pressure of party congressional leaders and close friends will persuade President Biden to decide to drop out of the presidential race as soon as this weekend. So you've got two major political stories going on right now.
Right.
The pressure on Joe Biden to step down, and the hints that have started to come out this week where he, in an interview with a media outlet, said, well, if a doctor told me I couldn't run, I would step down. Yesterday, we had the news that he's been diagnosed with COVID once again. We saw the pictures of him getting on Air Force One in Las Vegas, I believe it is, last evening, where he had to rest going up a 12 or 13 step staircase into the bottom of Air Force One. Now he's isolating this weekend back in Delaware. So there's Nancy Pelosi openly turning against him now.
Telling him to his face that the polls show he can't win.
Yes. Schumer has met, Senate Majority Leader Schumer has met with him, and we are told he's being encouraged to step down by Schumer. You've got Adam Schiff publicly saying it's time for Joe Biden to go. We understand the money coming into the coffers has pretty well all dried up.
Right.
So all of this is going on, and
he can't survive politically. But here's the problem for the Democrats. There is no clean way to get rid of him.
No.
Even if he, there's all kinds of talk about, initiating procedures under the 25th Amendment, all those where you forcibly remove someone who is incapable of serving out his term. So set that aside. Even if he agrees that he is not going to accept the nomination or be the Democratic nominee, you still have the question, and we've talked about it on the show, you still have the question about, well, does he finish out his term?
Yeah.
If he's not strong enough to run for re-election, how is he strong enough to fill out his term until someone else is inaugurated this coming January? Mm-hmm. That means if he steps down, Kamala Harris becomes the president, then she has to select a vice president. Does she become the nominee?
Yeah.
And if not, how are you going to give her the boot? And listen, they are in a tough spot politically, And there's no clean way for this to happen, but it seems increasingly that it's going to. It's going to happen.
Guys, does this not seem like something that should have been worked out 2 years ago?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm talking about Democrats.
Oh, yeah.
They should have worked something out with Biden 2 years ago and not wait till the last minute to try to force him out. Seems to me like.
Well, I will say this. Now, we've been talking since he was elected in 2020, Joe Biden. Okay. Please, folks, I'm just saying you may have disagreements that election was legitimate. Right. But I'm just saying we've been talking about that he has problems, cognition, cognitively, all that. But it seems to me in the last year, he has really fallen off the ledge. In other words, it is not only become more and more apparent, but it's been a steep decline. And so perhaps the Democrats thought, well, we can't pull him out now. First of all, I don't think Joe Biden would have ever agreed to it.
That's right.
But they're saying we can't pull him out now. I think we can wait and have him win mm-hmm. re-election, then make the decision. But after that debate, it became clear he's probably not going to win. Now the Democratic Party's stuck.
And the media's against him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the media, their heads are going to spin off their shoulders if Donald Trump wins re-election.
Yes.
So that's all they care about is we cannot let Orange Man Bad get back in the White House.
All right. What if Joe Biden says, to borrow from George H.W. Bush, not gonna do it?
That's possible.
Yep.
Not gonna do it. And so we'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.